You're listening to the Sermon Podcast by Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. We exist to know God and to make Jesus known. For more up-to-date information, check us out at southsidenow.church.
Well, good morning once again. Today we're going to be continuing on in our series in the book of Ruth. So you can go ahead and turn to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. We'll be backtracking a little bit. So we're going to start in verse 13 and 15, and then we're going to pick back up in verse 19 and finish the chapter. Today we're going to be looking at the story so far in the first chapter from the perspective of Naomi. What's happening in Naomi's life and how Naomi is perceiving this story so far. And today we're going to look at when life grows bitter. When life grows bitter. And we're going to see this from the story of Naomi. Naomi is a woman who had life happen just like everyone else. She had moments of ups, she had moments of downs, she had moments of in-betweens. She had experienced joy, she had experienced grief. She had experienced those good moments in life. She had lived a life with her husband, Elimelech. She had two boys. She had watched them grow up and get married. She had seen how God had moved in her family. But you see, life had changed. Time continued. And those moments of joy went to moments of tragedy and grief. Losing her spouse, Elimelech, would have been very difficult. But then losing both of her sons, being away from home in a time of famine, life had grown very bitter for Naomi. But what is bitterness? Bitterness is defined as to be angry, to be hurt, resentful because of one's bad experiences or a sense of unfair treatment, that life just isn't fair. Bitterness had a way of growing over time and changing how Naomi perceived her world. Bitterness acted like a nasty weed in a sense. For those out there who've done yard work and you've worked with weeds, you know how annoying that can be. I hate yard work. I'm not a fan of it. I don't like weeding. I do like working with plants that I enjoy, like planting, like we've tried tomatoes and different stuff. Don't have a good success rate at the moment. But for those who have done yard work and weeding, you have to be attentive. They often start small and they can spread quickly. Well, you see, it started small. Bitterness is similar. It starts with small moments of pain and anger, small moments of resentment. It started with the first moment of tragedy, and as time progressed and more troubles hit, it continued to grow until it took root in Naomi's heart and changed her life, and it became much harder for her to deal with. So today we're going to look at the bitterness that we see in Naomi's story here in chapter 1. And here is what I want us to see this morning. Bitterness will affect your perception. Bitterness will affect how you view the world. Bitterness doesn't change who God actually is. And then finally, bitterness doesn't have to be where the story ends. So let's pick up in chapter 1, verse 13 through 15, and then we're going to jump to verse 19 through 22. Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else? No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me. And again, they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same. And then we'll pick back up in verse 19. So the two of them continued on their journey. When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. Is it really Naomi? The women asked. Don't call me Naomi, she responded. Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me? So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth, the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem in late spring at the beginning of the barley harvest. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you communicate to us. Lord, we thank you for the life of Ruth and Naomi, and for the fact that you led Naomi through this season of difficulty she was in. And Lord, that you have written to us so that we would be encouraged by her story, but that we would also be equipped by her story. And so, Lord, today I pray that you would teach us. Lord, help us to check our own hearts and to check how our perception is. Lord, I pray that you would draw us closer to yourself. Be glorified in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing that I want us to see this morning is that bitterness affects your perception. Bitterness will affect how you view the world. And it will affect your perception in three major ways. It will affect your perception of God, of who he is. It will affect your perception of yourself, and it will affect your perception of others. So it affected Naomi's perception of God, and we see that here in the text. Naomi said, "Things are far more bitter for me than for you because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me." And then again, she says, "The Almighty has made life very bitter for me." And then again, "When the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me." The hurt and pain that she had experienced in life had caused her perception of God to shift. She now viewed God in a distorted way, as someone who was against her and punishing her. Yes, God was in control, and God is doing stuff in Naomi's life. And she understands that God is in control, but she goes a step further and really blames God for what is happening in her life. She's right in a sense, and yet wrong in her understanding. God isn't against her, and we see that even in chapter 1, how God is already moving, and we'll talk more about that in a few moments. God is right there with her through all of this pain and all of this hardship, but she can't see it at the moment. Remember last time I said there can be several causes to the reason why we suffer in life. There can be several things behind that. It could be ourself. It could be that we do something stupid, we make a bad decision. It could be that we sin, and then there are consequences from that in our life. It could be the effects of others. It could be someone who sins against us, and then that is something that affects us. It could be something that's just the fact of living in a fallen and a broken world, and living in a world where things aren't right all the time. That could be a reality as well. It could be the enemy. It could be Satan or his demons trying to do something in your life to where it hurts you. And we also have the fact then that God uses brokenness, God uses difficulty in life to grow us and shape us as well. Here, we don't know all of why this has transpired. We do know that God is using this, and God plans to use Ruth and Boaz in great ways. God plans on leading to the bloodline of the Messiah through the family tree of Ruth and Boaz. But here in the story, we don't know why she is suffering. All we know is that Naomi perceives it to be that God is against her. She blames him. Now, we do know that God is using this, and God is going to bring forth the line of David from the line of Ruth and Boaz. But we also know that God is not against Naomi. He's very much for her. He's even now in the text working in their lives and bringing them out of the darkness that they have experienced. See, bitterness affected her view of the Lord. Bitterness is something that has that potential of affecting how we view God and our relationship with him. In this moment, all Naomi sees from her perspective is that she is suffering because of him. But bitterness can also affect your view of yourself. You see yourself differently when bitterness has taken root. Starting in verse 20, "Don't call me Naomi," she responded. "Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me?" When she gets back to Bethlehem, The people in Bethlehem are super excited to see her. They were amazed. It would be similar as if somebody that you used to know in Florence, they were gone for a decade or 20 years, and then they came back to Florence, and they were your friend in high school. You would want to see how life has changed for them. You'd be excited that they were back. And that's how they are with Naomi here in the text. They were genuinely happy to see her, but you see her bitterness has affected even how she views herself. So names, specifically in ancient times and specifically in the Bible, are really important because names were viewed as characteristics of that person. They were viewed as communicating the character of the person who had that name. So Naomi means lovely. And she, in a sense, is saying, why are you calling me lovely? My life is anything but that right now. They're happy to see her, but her view of herself is now rooted in bitterness. Her perception has shifted, and she changes her name to Mara, meaning bitter. So bitterness isn't just something she's going through. She now sees it as true to her character. She now sees it as something true to her nature. She's in a place where she feels empty. She feels abandoned. She feels grief. She feels anger. She feels like she's in the bottom of the pit. And for those who've ever dealt with anxiety or depression, or grief, bitterness, you can probably relate to how Naomi may feel in this moment. Naomi was feeling like she was in the pit, in a dark place to be, and it was hard for her to see the light. It was hard for her to see the good in her life. But it also affected her view of others. We see this twice in the text, starting in verse 14. And again they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same. And then later in the text, the entire town was excited by their arrival, and they said, is it really Naomi? Her view of others was shifted. It had been affected. She tells Orpah and Ruth to leave her. She tells Ruth to go back to her old gods, to go back to the paganism that she had come out of. Orpah had left, and she says, Ruth, you should do what she did. You should go back to your old gods. Think of what place you would have to be in to know the one true God, and then to say, you should go back to your idols. What a sad place to be in her life. Her view of God has shifted, and so she's telling Ruth to go back. But her view of the people in her town was also affected. They were excited to see her. They were genuinely happy that Naomi was back home, but even that she only perceives as mockery. They are excited to see her, but for Naomi, she's walking around the places where she spent time with Elimelech. She may be walking around places where they met for the first time, where they live life together. She's walking around places where her boys grew up. She's walking around where her family was at. And as she says in a little bit in the text, she went away full but came back empty. So when she comes back home, all she is reminded of is all the stuff that she no longer has. And that affects her and her view of others. I think of it kind of in this way. It's easy for us, for those who wear glasses, I'm especially bad at this. My glasses can get dirty really easily. And oftentimes, my wife will take them off my face and like wipe the lenses for me. Usually, if it's something to like, if they get smudged or they get really dirty or something, I would notice it and I would take my glasses off and clean my own glasses. But if I don't notice it, if it happens gradually, it happens over time, what happens is I get used to the dirt. I get accustomed to seeing through my perception the way that it is. And that can happen to us. The dirt happens gradually, not all at once, and it affects our vision. I get used to the dirt, and my perception then changes as a result of that because I've grown used to it. You see, it's easy for our perception in life to get shifted, specifically by things that happen to us in life, by things that happened to us in the past, by things that are happening in the present. And those things can shift how we view God, how we even view ourselves, and how we view other people. We may even start to see them in a negative or a bad way. So as we apply this, bitterness will affect how you perceive your world. Anger, resentment, feelings of being treated unfairly or that life just isn't fair has a way of shading your perception. And that's true not just for Naomi, but that's true for all of us. Those things have the potential to change how we see our world. So what we have to do is clean the glasses, so to speak. We do that ultimately by giving our burdens to the Lord. We cast our cares on the one who cares for us. We go to Him. But we also do that by actively seeking out forgiveness, by actively forgiving others. When you're at work and someone mistreats you, you being willing to forgive that person. When you're with your spouse and your spouse, you treat your spouse poorly or they treat you poorly, you forgive each other. When you're with that friend and that friend says something about you and they just mess up, you're willing to forgive that person. In all of those moments, having that willingness to forgive and that willingness to also be forgiven. We do that by reminding ourselves not to see the worst in other people. We do that by being an encouragement to others and by being an encourager to ourselves. We do that by not seeing the worst in other people's intentions and by seeing and then viewing the best in our own. We can do that easily where we give a lot of grace to what I'm doing. I'm doing things okay. I'm doing things right. I'm going to give myself a lot of grace. You're just mean. I don't like you. I don't want to give you any grace. And here's the thing is Satan loves to do that because he loves to cause those divisions. He'll cause those divisions in friendships. He'll cause those divisions in marriages. He'll cause those divisions between parents and kids. He'll cause those divisions in the church. The enemy really likes to do that where you see yourself as the good guy and then you start to see someone else as the bad guy. I'm right and they're just mean. When the perception becomes dirtied, we have to check our perception, how we are viewing things. Secondly, bitterness grows, but it doesn't change who God actually is. Even though our perception may be off, God remains unchanging. Verse 20, "Don't call me Naomi," she responded. "Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me?" Naomi's view of herself had shifted, and you see it here. "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty." In the Hebrew, the positioning of the word fullness gets at a couple of things. Fullness reflects on her happiness in her family, in her marriage, her perception of her life, not as perfect, but as things going good. In her understanding, she lacked nothing. She was married, she had kids, they were in a place where there wasn't famine, they had moved to a new home, things were going well. Her life had that sense of fullness. And the Book of Ruth commentary says this, "Even the famine and migration didn't drain that fullness. Certainly, it was nothing to blame God for, as we see no mention of him in that verse right there. But you do see his name in the following verse. The Lord Yahweh has brought me back empty." Fullness had become emptiness. You see, love had remained. The love for her boys, the love for Elimelech was still there, but now they were gone. What we see is that Naomi has changed, been changed by what she has went through. Bitterness grew over time. Each death, each moment of tragedy, slowly causing her perception and worldview to shift. Bitterness is something that can easily take root and can easily grow and spread in our lives. And so we have to be on guard. But even though there was bitterness, it didn't change who God was. You see, the master was still working. The Lord was still moving. God was still on his throne, even if Naomi couldn't see it at the time. And to Naomi's credit, she's incredibly honest here. She is incredibly honest with her feelings and how she is relating to the Lord here. In that way, she reminds me of some of the psalmists who are very open with God about how they feel, and they open up and are vulnerable to the Lord. And that's what Naomi does here in the text. You see, God has been faithful. God had been unchanging. The same God who was with her in the joy, the same God who was with her in her marriage and with her boys, the same God who was with her before the famine and into Moab, was the same God who was there present with her in the darkness, in the suffering, in the pit. The same God who was there in the fullness was the same God who was there in the emptiness. God was there all along. Many things change in life. And constancy and consistency are some things that we can appreciate. We know that in the life of the church right now, as there's been a lot of change. We've been going through a lot of change. But one of the things in life that can be an encouragement for us is when things or people stay consistent. When you have a friend that you can rely on and you talk to, oftentimes for me that's been around a cup of coffee or around a meal, and you have access to talk. Or maybe that's a family member who shows up and helps you out consistently, and they're there. They're somebody you can rely on. Maybe it's your favorite coworker who helps you get through that shift at work that you're, man, I just want to go home now. I don't want to be here. But that coworker helps you get through that shift. Those things in life can be of great comfort. But here is the truth, that all things change in life. Truly, the place of constancy and consistency is the Lord and the Lord alone. He is the one truly unchanging peace in all of our lives. He is the one who is near to us in joy and in the good times. He's the one who is near to us in the times of grief and the times of pain and the times of hardship. He is constant. He is unchanging. He is present. And he was that for Naomi and for Ruth, even if they couldn't see it in the moment. So as we apply this, bitterness has a way of growing. Bitterness often doesn't just pop up overnight. It doesn't just, there's a moment and then somebody's just bitter from that. But oftentimes it grows slowly and sometimes unnoticeably until it's a problem. It becomes rooted. And when it's rooted and when it grows and when it spreads, it becomes harder to deal with and can affect you and can affect others greatly. Secondly, as we apply this, God is constant. In whatever season of life you are in, and whatever thing is going on in your life, as we're changing from summer to fall and school starting back and kids and students are going back to school, some are starting college, whatever is going on in your life, God is constant right now. He is the same God in the moment of joy and when life gets challenging. Thirdly, point number three, the story doesn't end in bitterness. And the story doesn't have to end in bitterness for you this morning either. Verse 22, so Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth, the young Moabite woman. They arrived in Bethlehem in late spring at the beginning of the barley harvest. Naomi returns home with Ruth. But you see, the story doesn't end there. And the author lets us know that by something key at the end of chapter 1. You see, they have arrived just in time for the barley harvest. And you may be thinking like, yippee, what does that mean, right? They're there and there's a harvest. Well, one can almost sense a delighted narrator here smiling to himself. And he says, what a coincidence. They've arrived just in time for the harvest. It means this. That although they can't see it, the author of their stories has them exactly where they need to be. God in his providence has placed Ruth and Naomi exactly where he wants them. It's also a reminder to the reader that the famine is over. The time of emptiness, the time of famine is past. The harvest is also a time of celebration. It's a reminder that God never stopped being good. God never stopped being present. And he, in the way that only he can do, has already led them out of the shadow. This is the first kind of sun rays, or you could say, out of the darkness that they had been in. God has led them exactly where he wants them. And the truth is, they had never been forsaken. A song that I really like that illustrates this, I think, really well is Another in the Fire by Hillsong. And some of what it says is this. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters
holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. And then later in the song, it says this, and should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle, because I know that's where you'll be. You see, God was always there. God was always working. God was always faithful. And we are reminded of that fact by the fact that chapter 1 ends on the barley harvest. The master is working, and we know what lies in store for them. Redemption, Ruth meeting Boaz, family, future, new generations. God wasn't done. And here is what I believe this morning, that whatever story you are going through in your life, whatever place you are in your life, that God isn't done in your story either. God isn't done with you. Even if you can't see it, and even if you can't feel it right now, God is moving in your story too. The master storyteller is at work. And that doesn't mean that everything will be perfect. That doesn't mean everything will always go the way that we want it to go. But what it does mean is that we know where the story ends. One day, whatever comes, we will be with him where he is. Your story doesn't have to end in bitterness this morning either. So as we apply this, I'll count the joy come every battle because I know that's where you will be. Part of this is a perception change to see God as moving even when things get difficult in life, to see God as present even when you're going through hardship and difficulty. This is a reminder to see suffering in life as something that God is not wasting, but something that God is using. What God is allowing in your life, God is using in your life. Secondly, God isn't done in your story. Trust him. Whatever you're facing, whatever circumstance you're in, God is right there with you. And that's something that can encourage us and give us strength each and every day. Thirdly, knowing the end of the story can be helpful. We know what's coming next in Ruth's life. I don't know everything that's coming next in yours, but I do know how the story ends for all of us who belong to him. Restoration, resurrection, being with him, an eternal home where bitterness isn't even a thought anymore. So today, how is the Lord wanting you to respond in this moment? Maybe this is a moment of choice today, a moment of decision. Maybe today would be the day that you would need to give your life to the Lord and to follow him for the first time. Maybe God has led you here this morning for that specific moment. Maybe this is just a reminder that God's not through with your story either. God's not done with whatever he's taking you through right now. God's not done in your life. And my prayer is whatever life looks like, that you would find joy in knowing him, that you would find joy in whatever circumstance or situation you're in. Maybe you're here today, and here in a few moments, we're going to have a baptism. Maybe the Lord would have you to follow through in believer's baptism. Or maybe he would want you to join this local body and be a part of this church family. Or maybe you're here this morning and life has grown bitter. And maybe you've grown angry at others. Maybe you've grown angry at God, or maybe you've grown angry at yourself. And my prayer is this morning is that you would give that to him. You don't have to be bound by that anymore. Take those chains off, give that hurt to the Lord, and find joy as you realize that he is right there with you. Today, what we are going to do, and we're going to be bringing this back, is we're going to have a time of altar call, invitation, and response. And so what we're going to do in this moment is for those who, I'm going to pray here in a moment, and then we're going to worship together. If anybody wants to come and pray at the altar, you're welcome to do so. If you want to worship right where you are, you're welcome to do so. If you need to talk to someone, I will be here and others as well. But I pray that you would be obedient to respond to however God is moving in your life and in your story this morning. Let's pray.